Good morning. Welcome to worship with us on this Palm Sunday. What a celebration we have in store today during worship and afterwards. We are glad that you joined us for worship today. Please take a moment to record your attendance in the binders at the ends of the pew so that we know that you were here and how to contact you. And now turn to your neighbor and welcome them to worship. And now please make your way back to your pews and be seated, and we will begin our worship service with our call to worship, and our children will bring their palms down. Join us as we sing our opening hymn together.
May we remain standing as we affirm our faith together on this Palm Sunday. Let us say what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Can find you and sit with you for the service. Let's give God thanks for our children. Amen. Amen. As we prepare in this time to prepare for our pastoral prayer and our offertory, we come together this morning to give God thanks for each and every one of you that are here. We know that there are many requests that we take before the throne of God's mercy, and praise God that we serve a God who can take all that we bring. So may we be mindful to leave it all at the altar in Christ. Let us bow our heads to go together as the body of believers in Christ. Heavenly Father, we come this morning with shouts of acclamation to say, Hosanna, God, to give you thanks, Heavenly Father, for the voices of our children, the life of our church, and all that are here, dear Lord. We come remembering this day how kind your presence is, God, how sweet and gentle your hands are, Jesus, and how loving you are towards us. May we be gentle and loving with the hands and the work that you have given us to do as we move forward in the kingdom of Christ. We come this morning to give you thanks, dear Lord, carrying our brothers and sisters of the faith with us, dear Lord. And as we come to give this offering on this day, dear Lord, we ask that we offer you our hearts, our souls, and our minds. All that is on our heart will be poured out at the altar, knowing that you are an almighty God with your healing, your love, your grace, and your mercy. We come this morning to take a moment to simply say thank you, God, for you are faithful. And we come to rest in the bosom of your grace and mercy as we praise and adorn your name on this day, that you will enter into our hearts and that we will enter into your courts with praise and thanksgiving, for you are worthy. And we come this morning in humble adoration as we come together to thank you for this offering, that it will do the work that you have called it to do in the kingdom. And as we stand boldly on the affirmation of the prayer that you have taught us to pray together, the Lord's Prayer, by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
turn now to God's holy word. This is Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble, mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. And most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowd that went before him, that followed him, were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, as we come today in celebration of this beginning of Holy Week, and this Sunday brings one of the sharpest, most remarkable twists in the life of Jesus, and indeed of the church as well in history. As Jesus Christ entered into the holy city of Jerusalem, he's enjoying and receiving praise by all the people before the feast of Passover. They were waving palm branches, as the children were this morning. "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And that word, Hosanna, most of us probably knows what it means, but it means praise, salvation. They were wanting Jesus to be their Savior. However, that victorious chant of Hosanna turned very quickly in the week. That crowd was very fickle, because a little bit later, in just a few short days, they would be shouting something else. Their shouts of acclamation of salvation, their cheers would turn to jeers. The welcoming crowd became a mob when they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Therefore, this Sunday is one that is a dual emphasis. It's Palm Sunday, it's Passion Sunday. And so today we are focusing more on Palm Sunday. And when you consider the whole Bible, palms were an even greater distinction in Israel. When we talked about, as this verse talks about, the Passover, there was another festival, certainly more than one other festival, but the festival of tabernacles or tents. And all Jewish families were required to celebrate it every year. They would come to Jerusalem remembering how God had provided for them through their 40 years in the wilderness experience after their exodus from Egypt. And during that feast, they came with leafy balms and boughs of palms, and they lived in tents. It's kind of like what our parking lot looks like right now, right? It was like going camping for a week in the summer. It's the way God's people were remembering how God provided for them in the wilderness. For some of you, that would be great. For others of you, it would be very difficult to try to live in a tent for a week. But it's a reminder of how God provided for them in the middle of the wilderness. Truly a miraculous provision of God. He literally intervened, rained down manna from heaven, brought in quails for them to eat for meat, provided water even out of a rock for them to drink. Miraculous provision. And that festival of tabernacles occurred in the fall, similar to some of our harvest festivals, September and October. Right before that was Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, one of the holiest days of the year. On that day, the high priest would take two goats One, he would confess the sins of all the people on the head of that goat and turn it loose, a scapegoat. And the other was sacrificed, and the blood of that animal was placed upon and sprinkled upon the mercy seat in the temple or the tabernacle, the most holy place. Of course, the tremendous symbolism of that event represents you and I are the scapegoat. We have been released and set free. Christ is the one who's been sacrificed, whose blood was shed for us as a covering for our sins. More about this in a moment. But during the feast and the atonement and the tabernacles, the Israelites recalled their unfaithfulness against God. They knew even the first generation of those who came out of Egypt never entered the promised land. But they camped in Israel, not just remembering the sins of their past and their failures, but beyond that, they were remembering God's wonderful provisions for them. Amazing, the scripture says that their sandals never wore out. What an amazing thing. They ate manna and meat, as I said, and had water even from the rock. And God commanded Moses to commemorate this event, what we know as the Feast of Tabernacles. This is in Leviticus 23, 40 through 41. And you shall take on the first day the fruit of the splendid trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of brooks. And you shall rejoice before the Lord. You shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. And that carried over even to the time of Jesus. And this feast is still celebrated today by Jewish people and also by Christians who congregate there to commemorate the events and provisions of God. You must note there was also a lot of personal sacrifice in that feast. You imagine leaving your home, going for a week, leaving your comfortable dwellings, and instead living in a makeshift hut. As I said, some may really enjoy this, like going camping. For others, it would almost be torturesome for some. But the event was one to commemorate. On that event also, burnt offerings were given. And that sacrifice not only taught the Israelites to be grateful for what they had, but it was looking forward to the further sacrifice that would bring about the salvation of the world. Today you were given a palm cross. Many of you are wearing them. It's not only just to remember this being Palm Sunday, but more, it is to celebrate the victory that is ours in Christ. We know we're beginning this Holy Week this day. On Thursday, we commemorate the evening that the Lord instituted the Last Supper, Holy Communion, that we will celebrate in just a few moments. Then we remember the events of Good Friday as Christ was placed on a cross, his suffering and his passion. And all of that culminates in the victory of Easter Sunday when Christ arose from the dead, claiming victory over death and sin. And palms represent that victory for us. As you see in Revelation, the greater fulfillment of this, in Revelation 7:10, therefore we wave palms now as St. John shares in his Revelation vision of heaven. And think about this, the vision of heaven that John saw. And what does he see? All the saints will hold palm branches in their hands with white robes, washed in the blood of the Lamb, crying. This is the future version of Hosanna. Hosanna. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, Revelation 7:10. Of course, we know, as we live in this fallen world, that victory is not yet complete. We kind of see Jesus' death on the cross, and his victory there is kind of like D-Day in World War II. It was bringing the victory, but that victory was not quite yet fully realized. It was there, but yet there were more battles to be fought, more battles to go through. There are days in this life when we may feel defeated. There are days in this life when we may feel alone or even empty. I was talking to someone just a couple of days ago who were fighting tremendous health issues. They were wondering where God was in their struggle and in their pain. It's the great call and cry of the people of God who sometimes struggle in this life. But Palm Sunday and Holy Week, we remember that we are as the saints in heaven, brightly clothed, because we are baptized, because we are covered in Christ and the sacrifice of atonement that He made for us. I find it interesting as I went back to the book of Genesis. We all know that story of Adam and Eve. After they sinned against God, they were naked. They were ashamed. And what did they do? They tried to cover themselves. Most believe it was not a palm branch when they tried to cover themselves. Let's just say that a palm branch is woefully inadequate to cover us. But it's more than just a physical covering here. Like all human efforts since then, we often try to cover ourselves, to cover our sins and our shortcomings. It says further that they tried to hide among the trees, hoping that God maybe wouldn't notice. Again, a very common human tendency is for us to try to cover over things, our wrongdoings, our sins, and hide. In the very next chapter after Genesis 3, we see Cain killed his brother, and what did he do? He tried to hide him. The scripture reminds us that we are totally incapable of trying to cover our own sins and our shortcomings. From Eden's gate to Watergate, there's no way we can hide or cover our sins. Only God can do that. And thanks be to God that God does that. One of the first redeeming acts in all of creation here, right after Adam and Eve sinned, God covered them. God covered them. God forgave them. And He gave them garments. This is Genesis 3:21, of skin for Adam and his wife. And He clothed them. I want you to think about that for a moment. The greatest fulfillment of that, ultimately, the covering for our sins happened through the sacrifice of Jesus. Again, the other part of this Sunday is not just Palm Sunday, but Passion Sunday. As the song says so beautifully, we are clothed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. As we move toward Good Friday and the crucifixion, major events are turning here. When we think about this, on Good Friday, Jesus was stripped down before the soldiers. He was beaten with many stripes. In mockery, they put a purple robe on Him and crowned Him with a crown of thorns. Then they stripped Him down and hung Him on a cross. And I hope we understand the reason for that. The greatest humiliation of Jesus in hanging shamefully from a cross was for this reason. So that you and I would be covered. So that you and I would be atoned for. So that you and I would experience forgiveness of our sins. That they would be blotted out through His sacrifice for us. In that, Christ has totally reversed the curse. He has totally reversed the consequences of the sin of Adam and Eve. It was what Martin Luther called the divine exchange, the work of Christ to reverse the curse. Here's what he says. This is the mystery which is rich in divine grace to sinners, whereby a wonderful exchange, our sins are no longer ours, but Christ's. And the righteousness of Christ is not Christ, but ours. He has emptied Himself of His righteousness. And notice what He says here next. That He might clothe us with His and fill us with it. One of the modern choruses of the day that was sung and made popular by Chris Tomlin puts it very simply and beautifully. I'm forgiven because He was forsaken. I'm accepted he was condemned. I'm alive and well. His spirit is within me because he died and rose again. He was unclothed and crucified so that our sins may be laid bare and covered and to accomplish ultimate victory. That's why we wear the palm cross today, to remember the reason behind our forgiveness, the reason behind our victory. The Song of Solomon, the palm tree, is referred to as a symbol of strength and vigorous life and abundance. This palm has multiple meanings. It was a symbol of conquering heroes that the palms were laid at their feet. In the Greek games, to the winners, there were no gold medals, but they placed palms upon them. It was also a symbol of peace. A symbol of peace from resolution of conflict. We often might say today someone is handing out an olive branch. Well, it's a palm branch as well. Very soon, this altar will be filled with other greenery. Easter lilies will be cast all around this altar rail. They symbolize beauty and peace and tranquility. We'll be celebrating anniversaries, significant events in our lives, and foremost, the gift of life and resurrection, even in the face of death. Palms symbolize life and strength and our full covering in Christ. So we celebrate this Palm Sunday today. We can rest assured. We can live joyfully. We are baptized. We are clothed. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the Lord. Victory is ours in Christ. So as it is, as the people of God, we should never lose heart, because we are provided for, we are protected, we are covered through Christ. So we celebrate our victory, as the old gospel song says, palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory we shall wear. Hallelujah, Hosanna, salvation in Christ has come to us now and forevermore. Amen and amen. Let us prepare our hearts for Holy Communion.
As we come to the table of Holy Communion, we remember this morning the invitation that Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, church, let us confess our sin before God and one another by saying our confession and pardon together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
Let us continue at the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is a right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We're going to have communion at the altar. The ushers are going to direct you forward. I want to invite the Kaysons if they would come, and they're going to be helping serve communion today. All are welcome at the Lord's table. Lord, we thank you that you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. By your stripes, we are healed. May we rise and walk in your peace. Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we drink from this cup, we remember the cup of suffering that you drink from, and we thank you for seeing us as worthy. May we rise in your love to go forward in your peace. Amen.
Scripture reminds us, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, there is no remission. Thank you, Lord, for your obedience in laying down your life, shedding your blood for forgiveness for us and for our world. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father God, breathe on us. Let us be wrapped in your forgiveness and your love, and let us walk from this table knowing that we are forgiven by the blood of Christ and thankful for the sacrifice made. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Lord, we're reminded of the hymn, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." Thank you for your forgiveness, for your cleansing, for your renewal, for your peace. And may we arise and walk in your peace. Amen.
There is power in the name of Jesus. As we arise from this table, dear Lord, we give you thanks for your healing grace and your mercy, and may we walk in all that you have called us to be as disciples of Christ. Amen.
Lord Jesus, Hosanna. Hosanna to you in the highest. Lord, thank you. You are our Savior and our Lord. We give you praise. In your holy name, amen.
Christ, we are reminded what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. We bring all to you, Heavenly Father, as we arise in the anointing of your forgiveness and your grace. Amen.
Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. May you feast on the Lord in your heart by faith and be nourished by the true manna, the true food of heaven, who is Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christ Jesus, there is no greater love than what you show to us continuously. We give you thanks and praise as we rise from this table, giving you all the glory and honor. Amen.
Please stand as we sing our closing hymn. We'll sing verses 1, 4, and 5 of number 371.
As we prepare to depart this place, we give God thanks for the opportunity to be together. We invite you to fellowship with us at our Easter celebration going on right now. Be mindful of the Lilies for Easter insert, and you have a plethora of opportunities to come and fellowship and worship with us for Holy Week this week. And we want to invite you to come out and support our Confirmands on April the 16th for Confirmation Sunday and our Agape Hands Puppet Team on May 7th. There's plenty to add to your calendars, but most importantly, we pray and hope to see all of you this week to join us for worship and fellowship and prayer. May the grace of our Heavenly Father go and be with us as we part from this place to be better Christians in the better light of Christ in the world. Go in the peace of our Heavenly Father, and until we meet again, shalom.